open.
Who's doing the readings today?
Alison and Jean.
Good.
Right. Welcome to this service of morning worship. I have a little job to do before we begin. I have to read a banns of marriage. Okay. I publish the banns of marriage between Harry Lokes, single of High Wycombe, and Jessica Harrow, single of Tylers Green. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare it. This is the first time of asking. Thank you. So we now take up our sheets. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Our first hymn is number 72. Come, let me sing of a wonderful love.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I forgot to mention that we don't have Deborah today, but we do have Tash. And she's doing a good job. Give her a lift. Give her a clap. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has the first voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought our people to the new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now we have our second hymn, number 120, From Heaven You Came.
Thank you.
The reading from the Old Testament. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we come to the Old Testament canticle. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God. Praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Now the second reading.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we stand for the Benedictus. We say all of it together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for he will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated. So may the words on my lips, the thoughts in all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. A little reading from Luke chapter 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that had happened. A man joined them. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? What things? He said. About Jesus of Nazareth, he replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. It's the third day since all this took place. Some of our women went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. In a small Catholic seminary, the dean asked a first-year student to preach one day in the chapel. The novice worked all night on a sermon, but still came up empty. An appropriate time, he stood in the pulpit. He looked out over his brothers and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" They all shook their heads. "No," he said. And he said, "Neither do I. The service has ended. Go in peace." They all shook their heads. Well, the dean was very angry and told the student, "You will preach again tomorrow and you better have a sermon." Again, the novitiate stayed up all night, but still no sermon. When he stood in the pulpit, he asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" All the students nodded and said, "Yes." So the preacher said, "Then there's no need for me to tell you. The service has ended. Go in peace." Now the dean was livid. "Son, you have one more chance. Preach the gospel tomorrow, or you will be expelled from the seminary." Again, he worked all night, and the next morning stood before his classmates and asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" Half of them nodded yes. The other half shook their heads. "No." Then the novice said, "Those who know tell those who don't know. The service has ended. Go in peace." This time, the dean just smiled. He walked up to the novice preacher, put his arm around his shoulders and said, "Those who know tell those who don't know. Today the gospel has been proclaimed. The service has ended. Go in peace." And that's it. That's the tradition that began on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter night, that those who knew about the resurrected Saviour felt compelled to tell those who did not know. It was Easter afternoon, and we're introduced to a pair of travellers, one named Cleopas, the other maybe Mrs. Cleopas. We don't know. Nor we know much about their destination, Emmaus, just that it's 7 miles from Jerusalem. But north, south, east or west, we have no idea. What a week it has been. Two disciples had gone to Jerusalem for Passover, and there they had seen Jesus. On Sunday, Jesus had ridden to Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna. But on Friday, he had died to shouts of Crucify him. The disciples had thought so highly of Jesus, had hoped that he was the one, had hoped that he would restore Israel to its earlier glory, had hoped he would drive out the hated Roman soldiers, had rejoiced with a crowd on Sunday, but had watched from afar with heavy hearts on the Friday. What a terrible ending to a week that had started so well. Now the two disciples were walking home. The Passover was ended. They had to get back to work. How could you return to such ordinary work after such a wonderful week? Such a terrible week. The two of them talked as they walked, but they couldn't make sense of it. How could you make sense of Jesus being crucified? How could you make sense of a report that he was now alive again? They were going home. Then a stranger joined them on the road. He asked what they were talking about. Cleopas said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" Then they told him how the chief priests had conspired to have Jesus killed. Then they said, "We're hoping he was going to redeem Israel." We were hoping. Can you imagine any sadder words? We were hoping. Hope in the past tense. Hope turned hopeless. Have you ever felt despair of hope in the past tense? Most of us have at some time, and the experience hope gone bad. Hope turned hopeless. I was hoping we would win the tournament. I was hoping to get a good job after graduation. I was hoping she would marry me. I was hoping that the doctor would have better news. I was hoping. Hope in the past tense. Hope turned hopeless. When Jesus heard we are hoping, he rebuked them. He called them slow of heart. Then he began to teach them about himself from the scriptures. But they didn't recognize him. Then they came to Emmaus, the village where the two disciples lived. The disciples stopped because they were home. But Jesus kept walking. They called him back, urged him to stay with them because it was evening. So Jesus went home with them. They insisted that Jesus have dinner with them. They insisted that he stayed overnight. So Jesus stayed with them. At dinner, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They recognized him. And then as suddenly as Jesus had come, he was gone. He vanished from their sight. They would no longer have to say, "We were hoping." From now on, they would say, "He is risen." God sends us blessings in disguise. Not every day, but often enough. He wraps those blessings so that they appear to be something ordinary. A child who needs help with reading. A family whose house has burned. Tsutani victims who have lost everything. I have a friend who visited a large city church. At coffee time, he saw a circle of people talking to each other. So he said, "Could I join your circle?" Someone said, "Of course," and moved sideways to create a space. But it was too narrow a space to admit him. He never stopped talking. He moved on to other places. Unfortunately, his faith was already, fortunately, his faith was already firmly established. I have another friend who visited a number of churches to see how he would be received. She did things that were giving her a good reception. She dressed appropriately. She smiled. She sat near the front, near the sanctuary. After service, she remained for coffee. She had a scoring system to grade welcome she received. Everywhere from 10 points for a smile from a parishioner to 2,000 points for an introduction to the vicar. Fewer than half the churches scored better than 100 points. Some couldn't even get 20. I don't think that would happen here. I certainly hope not. Let's keep in mind that taking a moment to welcome a stranger in our midst could change lives, both their lives and ours. A stranger could be Jesus in disguise, or more likely, a person who is seeking welcome in a place to worship. The stranger could be an angel in disguise, sent to test whether we will welcome the stranger in our midst. I believe that God will send us blessings disguised as ordinary people, who in need, perhaps. Watch for them. Watch for the person sent by God to ask for our help. Watch for angels disguised as people in need. Watch for the opportunity to become a blessing. When we do that, when we bless those who need a blessing, God will bless us and our church. Amen.
Amen.
Now we stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we now have our third hymn, O Love That Would Not Let Me Go, number 434. And after that, Roger will pray for us and with us.
Oh, Lord, that would not let me go.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our morning worship and sending your Son Jesus into our world. As in this morning's sermon, please open our eyes that we may know Jesus and tell others about him. Just as the early followers heard from Peter that if they follow and believe in Jesus, they will receive the Holy Spirit. May we hear and accept this promise from Jesus and keep it close to our hearts. May we help others to share in this inner peace during the present chaos of the modern world. Help us to be humble and yet strong in our Christian beliefs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for future peace and stability within our dangerous world, trusting and believing that eventually love will overcome hatred and violence and crime. Help us to be kind and loving to one another and to welcome and encourage newcomers into our church at St. Margaret's. We pray that our world will see the eventual end of wars, poverty, disease, and damage to the environment that you created. We pray for future generations that love, compassion, reconciliation, fairness and mutual respect will eventually overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy troubles, especially within families. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing hardship and anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. Especially we pray for Sandra Mason, who is unwell. Amanda R., continuing with her treatment. Bob V., who is unwell. Carol and Jeff, who are housebound. And Jeff is receiving palliative care. Chris and his family for the positive outcome from recent chemotherapy treatment. For Gerald, Adrian, Heather, Harry, Oliver, Thomas and the family on the death of Philip Cooper. Graham Long undergoing treatment and his family. Harry Knox, Sheila Cousins, our youth club and our sanctuary cafe. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in our beautiful world that needs to be preserved and to be cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others in our community so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Collect for today. O living God, whose Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now we have our final hymn, number 470, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation, 470.
Thank you.
any further, let's thank Tash for her lovely organ playing. God, our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Amen. And we face each other across the aisle, and we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.